So the scripture for this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 4. In the end of that chapter, verses 29 through 32. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be patient and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This is the word of God for the people of God. So I believe in the forgiveness of sins is one of the statements of the Apostles' Creed. And in the Apostles' Creed so far, we've looked at, of course, God the Father Almighty and Jesus Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit. And leading up to this particular phrase, we've had a focus of our affirmation on the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, which are people who are holy. So we've had a focus on the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, holy people. And now comes this statement, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, which is, wait, we got it. We're not perfect. Holy, yes, not perfect. We need forgiveness. So let's join in the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. Let's join in that great affirmation together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So in that statement, there's two words that need our attention. The first word, of course, is forgiveness, and the second word, of course, is sins. And let's start with sins. In the New Testament, there's over 10 Greek words that we translate into English as sins. Some translators over the years have talked about them in other terms, like trespasses, which we use in the Lord's Prayer, like evil or wickedness or unrighteousness or iniquities or wrongdoing, or one of the concepts of one of the words is missing the mark. And so in Scripture, when we read sins in the Bible, the Greek has other words that bring about probably the fullness of the picture that the Bible's trying to convey is what sin is all about. And so that's why when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, there's various words that we use when we say forgive us our, we use the word trespasses. We forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And some say forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Some say forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The reason is because in the translations that we have of Matthew and of Luke, where the Lord's Prayer is recorded in both those places, Matthew and in Luke, they use three different words for sins. And so you could interpret it trespasses, or you could interpret it debts, or you could interpret it sins. And so down through the ages, the Lord's Prayer has come to us with various words for that term, sins, because in the New Testament there are various words for the idea of sins. And so, inspired by the Holy Spirit to cover the extent of all that the idea of sins means, we have various interpretations. And so it could be trespasses, could be sins, could be debts. No fault of any translator or any denomination of what version they use. It's just that that's how it comes to us. You know, that Lord's Prayer was first taught by Jesus by word of mouth to his disciples. And it was only later that it was written down by Matthew or was written down by Luke. Jesus did not send an email out to all his followers to say this is what it should read. And so Matthew and Luke put their words in there that they wanted, and they can be interpreted in different ways. In fact, they're even different words in the Greek. So this idea of sins has to do with our bad behavior, things that don't line up with God's holiness, and we do bad things. But there's another concept when it comes to the idea of sins, and it's the singular, it's sin. See, there, sins are our actions, sins are behavior, sins are bad choices that we make. And the forgiveness that comes from Jesus Christ through the cross of Christ cleanses us from sins, forgives our sins, forgives those actions. But sin is our nature. Sin has to do with what's in our hearts. Sin has to do with that fallen corruptness of our human being. And for that, there's not forgiveness. Instead, there's sanctification. Instead, there's transformation. Instead, there's a tremendous holy miracle makeover of who we are. And so the Bible talks about forgiveness in terms of our sins, our action, but it talks about transformation or sanctification when it comes to our corrupt nature, our sinful nature. So when you think of the word sin, there's those two concepts. There's sins, actions, and sin, nature. And they're dealt with by God theologically, spiritually, eternally, however you want to think of it. They're dealt with by God two different ways. The Bible says in Mark chapter 7, verse 21, out of a person's heart comes evil. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all we are transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And so you hear that transformation. We're being transformed into the likeness of Christ, which comes from the Spirit. So forgiveness, which is the next word we need to focus on, comes from the cross of Christ. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, secure our forgiveness. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Jesus died not because God was offended by things that we do that are bad. Jesus died not because God needed somebody to punish because of the sins of all of mankind. Jesus died to show us the depth of God's love for us and the length, the extent to which God is willing to go to help us experience his love. That picture that we have of Jesus on the cross is a picture of God's love for us. And it's to that great love that God hopes that you and I respond, that we say, thank you, that we say, I need your mercy. I beg your forgiveness. And we go to the Lord seeking that forgiveness. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for everyone. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for sins, for all sins. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for everyone, for all sins, for all time. And I try to tell students that sometimes in confirmation class. because we talk about basic things like Jesus dying on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. Well, if Jesus died on the cross for everybody, if God so loved the world that he gave his son and Jesus died for everybody, I guess everybody's sins are forgiven and everybody's going to heaven. Is that right? That's what they would ask. And I'd say, well, you might think that, but forgiveness to be real, for that gift of mercy given to us to be active in our life, we need to accept it. It's like if you gave a gift to somebody and they said, well, no thanks, you know. Well, that wouldn't be a gift. If the transaction isn't completed, that's not a gift. And so for the transaction of our forgiveness to be complete, we need to openly receive the gift that God has given to us. And listen to this. And in that acceptance, there's a need for that then to be applied in our life. In other words, when we receive that gift, in order for that gift to actually be authentic, that gift of forgiveness, it needs to be demonstrated. It needs to be a part of our relationship with others. And so God gives us this great gift of his love for us through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins. We accept it. We believe it. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. And then we enact it in our life. God forgave us, so we forgive others. And that's what that passage in Ephesians chapter 4, the last verse 32, was trying to say. Forgive one another as in Christ God has forgiven you. You know, we pray that in the Lord's Prayer. And it's recorded in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. We pray, forgive us our trespasses or sins or debts. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, which is the next verse. For, and what comes after that? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For, what's the very next verse? Here's the very next verse. For, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. That's the next verse. We think it's, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen. That's not what it is in Scripture. What it is in Scripture is an explanation of how important it is to accept that gift of forgiveness and then make it real by forgiving others. Look it up. Matthew chapter 6 is the Lord's Prayer. Verse 12 is forgive us our trespasses. Verse 13 is lead us not into temptation. And verse 14 is you need to forgive others just as God has forgiven you. If you don't, it's not real. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 puts that in perspective. It says, if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must forgive others. Jesus was talking about that forgiveness to his disciples. And that's when Peter asked, well, if I'm supposed to forgive my brother, is seven times enough? And that's when Jesus said, well, you know, you don't quite get it, Peter. It's not seven times. It's seven times, 70 times. And then he goes on to share this parable right after that. He says, let me tell you a story. Once there was a king, he had many servants, and the king decided, I'm going to call in my debts. People owe me, and I think it's about time we kind of held some of those debtors accountable. So he called in one man, and this man owed him a lot. It's hard to put into numbers how much this man owed him. There are scholars who say that this could be upwards of $1 billion. 400 tons of silver, 10,000 talents, you know, is the thing. And a talent is like a year's wages. So it's just an enormous amount of money this man owed the king. Remember, Jesus is telling this story to his disciples. And so this man brought before the king could not pay it. He said, I cannot pay it. And the king said, okay, you know what the consequences are. We are going to sell you and your wife and your children and all your possessions in the slavery market, and whatever we get out of that, that will satisfy your debt. And the man said, no, please, please don't do that. And he fell down at the king's feet, and he cried, and he begged for mercy. Well, the king's heart was touched. And the king said, okay, I understand that that debt is a, something that's a burden for you. Tell you what, I'm going to just forgive that debt. I'm going to wipe it clean. You don't owe me a thing. And the man was just so relieved. But he walked out of that place, and he was walking down the street, and another of the king's servants who owed him $10 came his way. And the man said, wait, hey, you owe me $10, don't you? And he grabbed him by the throat and he just shook him. He said, I want my $10 right now. And the man said, I don't have it. I don't have it. Please, please, you know, I beg you, please. And the man said, you don't have that $10 you owe me? And he called the police. He said, throw this man into debtor's prison. He owes me. He's not paying me. Throw him into jail. And some other servants of the king who were observing what was happening just were livid. They knew that that man had been forgiven tons, and yet he wouldn't let this guy off the hook for $10. And so they went and told the king. Remember, this is a story Jesus is telling to his disciples about forgiveness. He went and told the king. They went and told the king what had happened. And so the king said, bring that man back in. And the man appeared again before the king, and the king said, what are you doing? I just forgave you, wiped clean the slate of your debt, and you couldn't forgive this debt that this man owes you, even though it was minuscule? He said, that just makes me sick. And so he ordered the jailers to take that man off to prison until his debt could be paid, is how this Jesus put it. Well, of course, he's not going to ever be able to pay that debt. That man is in prison for the rest of his life. Now, here's the bottom line. Here's what Jesus says at the end of that parable. This is in Matthew 18. He says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. That's what Jesus said. If you get the point of that story, you'll get how important Jesus is saying to his disciples, how important it is for you to forgive one another. When we say, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, we mean we are compelled by the love of God to forgive others. We are compelled by the love of God to seek forgiveness from others. And it's clear we need to practice forgiveness. So let's practice that. I want you to turn just to somebody around you, make some eye contact with you, and I want you to practice forgiveness right now. So say to them, turn, make some eye contact with somebody, and say, please forgive me. Just say that, please forgive me. Even if you've never done anything wrong to that person, just let's say it again, please forgive me. Okay. Here, we're going to practice a little bit more because sometimes somebody's offended you. And so turn to that same person, those people around you, and say, I forgive you. Go ahead and say, I forgive you. Yeah, say it again, repeat it again. I forgive you. Yeah. See, now if someone asks what you did at church this morning, you can say, well, we practiced forgiveness. You know, you actually practice saying it. Sometimes people offend us. and by word or by deed or whatever, and we need to forgive them. Sometimes we offend others by word or deed, whatever, and we need to go and seek forgiveness from them. A few years ago, I was watching a Cubs game on television. Chicago Cubs were playing at Wrigley Field in Chicago, and I was watching the game, and I was rooting for the Cubs, and it was near the end of the game, and in fact, it was the ninth inning, and there were two outs, and there was a guy on third base, and the Cubs were up to bat. They were down to their last out. The game was tied, and so the batter hit a ball, and it went into the deep hole past the third baseman. And the shortstop is running over, makes a diving stop of the ball. While he's doing that, the guy on third base runs home, and he tags home plate. The batter is blazing a trail down the first baseline. Somehow, miraculously, the shortstop gets up on his knees, throws a ball to first base. But the batter hits the bag before the throw gets there. And I stand up and cheer, yahoo, you know, he's safe in the... I'm thinking, Cubs win, and 40,000 people at Wrigley Field stand up and they cheer. They saw the same thing I saw. You know, he's safe. We win. Cubs win. But the umpire at first base went, "You're out." Wait, what? Are you crazy? You're right there. You're closer than I am. You couldn't see that he was safe. And so I'm saying all kinds of things to the TV about how no good of an umpire this guy is and how he's blind and what in the world is he doing. Well, you know, now this day and age, we have instant replay. And so the umpires gather over on the sidelines and they look at the monitor and they kind of try to make sure they get the call right. And so while they're doing that, the TV is showing the replay from different angles. And yeah, I guess it was a little closer than it looked originally. In fact, they show it from one angle in slow motion, and it looks like the ball may have got in the first baseman's glove before the runner tagged the base. So yeah, well, the umpires come back after carefully looking at the replay, that instant replay, and they say to the whole crowd, and all the millions watching TV, all to the dismay of the Cubs fan, that the call on the field is verified and stands. The runner was out. At that point, I apologized to the television set. And actually, if I could have, I would have texted that umpire and said how sorry I was that I called him all of those terrible things. You see, in life, when someone wrongs us and we're offended, we don't have instant replay that kind of falls down from the sky and lets us know and able to show everybody else that we were wronged. We don't have that. We do have a kind of a spiritual replay, though, where we can go to somebody and we can offer or have a conversation and replay that what went wrong and offer them forgiveness. Or if we've wronged somebody, again, we don't have instant replay that comes down from heaven, but we do have a spiritual replay where we can go to somebody and replay the conversation and tell them that we know we were wrong. And seek their forgiveness. God knows there's incredible power in forgiveness. That's why Jesus gave his life for us, to demonstrate the depth and the length, the breadth, the height of God's love for us. When we forgive others, that demonstrates that we've been forgiven and that we love those around us. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Well, Lord, it's been an unusual morning for us. And on the top of our list, in our minds, first and foremost in our hearts, is Susie, our dear sister in Christ. And we again lift her up to you, ask that you surround her with everything necessary to get her through this day strong and healthy. We surround her with your love, with our prayers, with the power of the name of Jesus Christ. We surround her and ask that you work in her life to make her well. Of course, we lift up Cliff. We lift up the whole family. We ask that you bring them a peace, that you're in charge. Remind us all that you love Susie even more than we love her. And so we trust her to your care. We ask, Lord, from your word that we've heard this morning, that you help us to continue to love one another. And one of the most powerful aspects of that love is forgiveness. And whether we need to seek someone's forgiveness or whether we need to offer forgiveness to someone, Lord, help us to do exactly that. We're not perfect, but we are holy, created in your image. And we pray that you help us in our holiness to love and to forgive one another. That's our prayer this morning. In Christ's name.